I personally noticed a lot during this feast from being able to share time with so many willing brethren serving those who came here to attend Tampa Satellite Site. And it was a blessing to see that, because with the back-to-back impacts of Hurricane Helene and Milton, and how they unleashed on various parts of Florida their destructive might, either from storm surge, from winds, whatever it may be. Some of you may not have known that we were considering not having a feast site here because of that damage. That was being considered. And our minister was down in Australia, New Zealand, very concerned. And he said to me, if you have electricity, if you have internet, you are having a feast site in Zephyr Hills. Yes, sir, we are. And we did, because God blessed us. All we lost was a part of an awning out front, as you probably have seen as you walked in today. It's very bright out there, front door. That was it. A little bit of water intrusion. Other than that, we were good to go. And we did. Because a lot of prayers went up to God for his intervention and his blessings to allow the feast to continue here. Mr. Shavy also got in touch. How are things in Zephyr Hills? Are you having a feast site in Zephyr Hills? Well, Gordon was more than happy to pass that note over to me. Said, please answer his question. We happily did. We told him, yes, sir, we would be having a feast site here. We had 100 people sign up for the site. Our largest number was 69, because there were others that were still dealing with storm damage, others that were dealing with health issues, and others dealing with car and other problems that kept them from attending. But we reached out to them to let them know we were concerned. We were praying for them, just as we should do in our daily lives, for each of us in here and our family, God's family. We had no issues with the internet during the feast. We had a great team of people helping out, serving one another. No weather issues, beautiful weather. Yes, things were recovering here in Zephyr Hills because the storm caused delays of shipments for the restaurants, damaged hotels, which some could not have for their rooms during the feast. They worked around that. Gas stations were very light on gasoline for the first few days. Street lights were out. Some people don't know the stop and go when there's no lights. So you had to pay close attention to that. But overall, God blessed this site because God's people shared their time, their money, to help others that needed it amongst us. A lot of good fellowshipping. And our governor, Mr. DeSantis, had shown where the state of Florida was being served by people all over this nation, even Canada, coming in to assist in the recovery, to restore power, to recover much needed life support where needed. So we saw a foretaste of what Satan will unleash on mankind before and during the Great Tribulation. But better than that, we saw foremost, and we continue to see how God's people respond to help one another, and how people out there have responded in serving and helping their neighbors and others in their time of need. So the title of my message today is Notice the Difference. Notice the difference. You go, what difference? Well, what difference is that for you to notice? We have God's way. We have the world's way, Satan. Each day of our life, there are noticeable differences of what we come in contact with, how we are in our own life, in our communications, our thoughts, our prayers, our study, our life, our jobs, our retirement, whatever it may be, there are differences, and we need to start being more attuned to the godly differences and focusing and building and moving in those directions. We know that Mr. Wendt puts out a weekly something to ponder, but of course it won't be this week because he's still traveling. Well, throughout my message today, I have borrowed different excerpts from some of his past something to ponders to make a few points. I'm going to be talking about just a couple of points here for us to consider in our life. And the first point is, we have been blessed. I mean, if you disagree with me, see me later. But I think overall in our life, in our calling, in God's truth, we have been blessed. Especially during these fall holy days that we have just come through. We have been given a much needed reminder of some wonderful events that are on the horizon. And we need to rehearse those messages that we've heard. Continue to rehearse that and let it grow and build within us to keep that vision of what's on the horizon. Because we know in this world that it's filled with war, deception, hunger, disease, and severe weather anomalies. I saw an article just the other day of the Sahara Desert. There's flooding in the Sahara Desert. There's floods all around this world, places you'd never heard of before. Flooding in New Mexico, another desert area, all these anomalies. But we are continually invited by our God, our loving Father, to ponder some amazing events that give us great hope. The world cannot give us any great hope. But God knows. God has a plan. He is a loving God, as Mr. Shaby talked about, the agape, drilling down into these words, these godly words and phrases. Again, how blessed we are to be invited by the ruler of the entire universe. The entire universe. The master planner, to not only understand or given the opportunity to understand his awesome plan, but to be guided, to be led, to be guided by his spirit in how to prepare for the glorious future in God's kingdom. A kingdom unlike any other, definitely not like anything this world currently has, so these governments. A godly kingdom is coming. All throughout history, man has undertaken many different ways to lead people, to enslave people, to make them do what they say to do. Do as I say, not as I do, practically. But their system has and continues to be flawed. But that time is coming where God will send his son, Jesus Christ, back to this earth to establish the perfect government, which is on the horizon. We know it's coming. And as we participated in the fall festivals, God's fall festivals, it was a beautiful reminder of how God will implement His plan of salvation. And we all know that this will eventually touch the lives of every human being that has ever existed. As was talked about during the feast, the billions, billions that will have that opportunity brought to them. Not a single person will be overlooked. Whether they met an untimely death in their life, and we heard about the abortions of the suffering of little children, you know, people that have drowned during these hurricanes, the flooding, starvation that's around the world, even in our country. They may have lost their life in an accident, lost their life in enslavement, war, disease, violence, or just by natural causes. We don't hear a lot about natural causes, but it still happens. People live a life, a full life. But our all-powerful God, our Father, is aware of all His potential children. If we sometimes feel overlooked, consider the words of our elder brother Jesus Christ. You would turn to Matthew 10, verse 29. I'm going to read verses 29 through 31 of Matthew 10. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Matthew 10, starting in verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? Verse 30 is something I've always found amusing since I've been getting older. Says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Well, there's more today because I didn't do it like I usually do before I speak. So and that was, comment was made for you, Mr. Williams, just in case. You're always correcting me on my hair. So anyway, verse 31. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So God's not overlooking even the small sparrows. He definitely will not overlook us. Our spiritual father and elder brother, they have their eyes on us continually. It's not that we're under a microscope. They love their children, their brothers and sisters. We are never alone, never. Although we may feel like it at times. When we say never alone, doesn't that give you a good feeling to know that you have 24/7 access to the Father? He is always there for us. You and I have been called by God. And we have a huge and wonderful responsibility that we've accepted. There may be those that are still being called that haven't accepted that yet, but are working in that direction. Our daily choices, and it is a choice, will determine whether we're a part of the first resurrection at Christ's return. Judgment is on the house of God today. For those who have committed their lives to God through baptism, we have agreed to a life of overcoming and becoming a new person. Because we have such a great example to follow. And follow Christ as His example. The Feast of Trumpets that we celebrated pictures the reward of those saints who are willing to submit to that authority, to the authority of God, and remain faithful to the very end. The end is not here yet, but it is approaching. This world that we live in continues to head toward destruction under Satan's rule, but God has a plan. The Day of Atonement that we observed and celebrated reminds us that God foresees the future. And before man destroys himself, the temporary God of this age will be locked up. Romans chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Romans 20, verses 1 through 3. We read, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." You know, that actual, truthful moment is fast approaching. Thanks be to God for that. And therefore, we better make sure that we are walking on God's path, straight and narrow. Because if we're not walking on God's path, then we will definitely suffer the consequences. God is making it very clear which direction we need to be going in. Jesus Christ is prophesied to rule the world, this world, and we must daily prepare our lives so that we are ready to serve under him as he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. We read, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." So you must ask yourself, how well did we prepare for God's festivals, his fall festivals? And for that, all of God's festivals, feast days, how well do we prepare? Because we're now starting again. You know, are we saving our second tithe as commanded? Registering for the Feast of Tabernacles, I found that to be very interesting. Because as our numbers kept growing, who wanted to be here at the satellite site, it didn't really tell you which satellite site they chose. You just knew that they were from Ocala, Tampa, St. Pete, other Florida churches. So the assumption was Tampa satellite site. Because we didn't have access or in the system, it doesn't tell you. It just says satellite site. And there are a lot of them throughout the United States. And the way it's laid out, you're not supposed to transfer in from out of state. Unless there are exceptions. If it's for family or like a snowbird that's coming down anyway and will be here after the feast. So those exceptions do exist. But it's a learning process. Actively planning to meet with God in the place that he chooses. Because we heard some questions that people said, who chooses where we attend the feast? That had been addressed from Cincinnati. God chooses where his feast sites are, where he places his name. Caring for the widows, the widowers, the fatherless, caring for our brethren that are in need. How well did we do? How well are we doing? Past, present, and now looking forward to the future. Are there areas that we can improve upon? Because all of these are responsibilities that we are to follow, we are to accept, we are to be willing to step out to show God where we stand in His laws, His commandments, His statutes, His agape, His love. Just as we are to examine ourselves each day to determine, not just that before Passover, but each day examine ourselves. Where can we improve? Where can we do better? To overcome obstacles. But it's not obstacles that Satan puts in our place, which he surely does. But sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. We are putting obstacles in our own way of not really focusing on what we should be focusing on. You know, Mr. Shavey covered some of these points in his opening night message. We should go back and rehearse that opening night message to see if we can identify with areas that I need to improve upon. There is hope for all mankind, because what a merciful and loving God we serve. And on the eighth day, the last great day, we rehearse God's plan for every human and how all will be resurrected and given that first chance to learn of God's way. You read that in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. You can do that later. I'm not going to read all those for time's sake, to keep it within my 80-minute time period. You know I'm kidding, right, when I say that, right? Okay, all right. Because this will be reviewed. I'm kidding about the 80 minutes. But again, no one will be overlooked. We all will be serving with Christ, helping to teach, serving the inhabitants of the world. That is one of our future jobs, and we all know we're in training now. Focusing on the deep meaning of the fall festivals that we have just come through, and rejoicing in the amazing plan that God has worked out for us, first fruits. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Verse 9, he will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. No man is going to prevail on what God has put in place. Nor should any man want to try to tempt God in doing that. So we have been blessed, and God will continue blessing us. Another area is our prayers have been answered. And you can answer that for yourself. Have your prayers been answered? Because I know from this feast site alone, a lot of prayers went up as we were getting ready and experienced the power of Hurricane Helene and Milton. I've lived here all my life, born and raised in Florida. I've been through a lot of hurricanes. It never gets easy. never to see the destruction, the power, the devastation, the concerns and the worries of those that have gone through that, that have lost everything. Some that can't even get to their homes here in Zephyr Hills that are still flooded with waters. It's devastating, it's disheartening. Never gets easy. But we witness this, and we go to God in prayer to be with those people that are in need. Because we know, we especially know, that our Creator planned out, He designed every factor in making this planet. What do you think of when you see on the radar it says a Category 5 storm? Do you think of the devastating effects of the winds? The 180 mile per hour winds, some gusts could 200 miles an hour? Is that what you're thinking of? Or are you thinking of, you know, God created that power, but God can also dissipate that power. God is all powerful. That's why we need to continue to pray to our Father to be ever watchful over us. Just not in hurricane season, but every day of our life, for ourselves, for others, for our families. Because truly God is more powerful than any of us can imagine. My imagination is not that great of all that power that God has, the all-powerful God. But I do know and I understand that our prayers should be going out to God daily to seek His understanding and wisdom from His written Holy Scriptures to continue to improve. He gave me another day of life. That day needs to be utilized to learn more about God and to do better. You know, we live in a so-called convenience world, more than other countries, third world countries. We normally don't experience a lot of complete darkness through the night hours. But this year, like other years, we boarded up our windows so there wouldn't be any debris damage or wind damage at the hurricane, whether it was going to be over us, near us, whatever. We prepared by doing that. When that happens to my house, it's complete darkness inside at night. So you either have a flashlight or you have something, because you don't see your little lights on your TV or your DVD or whatever that's plugged in, because when your power's off, that's it. So you're either feeling your way around or you're hoping you can remember where everything's put. So we are so used to the everyday conveniences of life, whether it's phone, and a lot of you can relate to this, internet, AC, refrigeration, a lot of that's impacted by storms. But we know that they can be easily taken from us when we're really hoping that they're there for our use. It can be easily removed from us. But God is always with us. God is not easily removed from a person's life unless you're the one removing Him out of your life, choosing to walk away, choosing not to follow Him, to not communicate to your Father. That's a very bad idea, very poor idea. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we know that all of mankind is walking in spiritual darkness unless their eyes are focused on God. And God's the one who does the calling. 1 John 1, verse 5. This is a message which you have heard from Him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. How is our fellowship with one another? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In order for Christians to have their eyes stay focused, to stay open, it is imperative, it is so vitally important, to have a close relationship with a true source of light and focusing on the true light source. So are we willing to ponder whether our relationship, our own personal relationship with God, is pleasing to him? That's for you to answer yourself. And do we even know if we have an acceptable relationship with God, or how to have a relationship with God? If you question that, then research it. Go to the sources, sermons, booklets, each other, talk about it, ask questions. Because each of us at times, I know I do, I may be blinded, or my thinking is muddled in various ways, which does affect my daily walk in this life with God. And we have to be focused and aware of that, to notice that difference. You will know that difference because it will eat at you. It will almost squarely hit you between the eyes if you're going the wrong way, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. In John chapter 8, verse 12, John chapter 8, verse 12 says, "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Christ is leading. It doesn't say, "He who leads me." No, it says, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness." As we are called by God, our eyes begin to see and understand on a whole different level. I'm sure we have all experienced that when God called us and we were shown his truth and we accepted that truth. God is continually giving us tremendous gifts. But we are prone to letting down and losing our way. Again, we have to focus. We have to check ourselves. You know, God's plan clearly is all about restoring and keeping our relationship with our spiritual father and our elder brother. Here it is. Follow it. And also to see our lives with each other growing more and more. I think Mr. Yates mentioned that over in St. Pete, where he got a chance to visit with people that we really don't see unless we're speaking in their area, that we're here for the satellite site feast. And I agree with that. There are those that we may see once every few months, But here they were. We were enjoying their company, enjoying the fellowshipping, enjoying their sense of humor, their stories. It was wonderful, a growing experience, because we're all part of that family, the family of God. And as mentioned before, Mr. Shavey talked about the agape. So when you see in God's word, love, as he was saying, agape, agape, it's starting to get into that deeper understanding of truly knowing about God and his love, his agape love, the deeper meaning that we need to have and we need to be living. Just like throughout God's words, the deeper meaning of these words. Again, as we observe the fall festivals, it continues for us as we're going forward. Important to draw closer to our God. So we are able to gain more understanding of his glorious plan. I mean, do you think you know everything there is about God's holy days? God's words? Did you experience, did you learn something new during the messages this year? Did you pick up on little gold nuggets here and there? Because Satan, he wants to brush it off. He wants to cover it up. And he's been very effective in clouding the mind of man. And we are still in the process of coming out of that environment. It's all around us. It's festering out there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we read, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Well, they may be perishing now, but we know in God's plan that they one day will have that unveiled for them. They will be able to learn God's truth. Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Again, we, you and I, have the opportunity to break free from Satan's grasp by following our Lord and Savior. We are not free of that. It's there. It's lurking. It's lurking everywhere. Everywhere. And he knows he has a short time. And it is starting to get really turned up. Our Lord and Savior, he's the way. And he is showing us how to prepare. Prepare for an awesome future. And we're talking about that future for us, that future for the rest of mankind. Our nation is declining rapidly and the world is heading down a dark path. Continually. Guess what happens in 10 days from now? Election day. There are places already having the voting going on. But God's kingdom is on the horizon. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we know what will eventually happen. God's kingdom is on that horizon of our life. And we have the opportunity to join Christ at his return. And it all depends on our zeal. Our zeal to stay the course. Ephesians 5 verse 8. Ephesians 5 verse 8. Some instructions here. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are children of God. Let's walk as children of light. Let's all take some time and reflect, deeply reflect, on how we can improve in following our soon coming King. Because we know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can read that in John 14, verse 6. I won't turn there. So we've talked about a couple of points. Do you agree that we have been blessed? Do you believe that your prayers have been answered? I do. I know you do. So, as we consider moving forward, this will be my final point. As we all consider moving forward in this life that God has called us to, what will have a positive impact in your life going forward? And remembering to notice the difference in your life, but from a standpoint of the qualities of God. Always have God as number one, that focal point, because He has many qualities that He is willing to share and see us grow in. Because we all know life is busy. Families, school, children, even retirement. We're all busy. Young, old, in between. Whether you're dealing with health issues, you're dealing with finances, whatever it may be, debris cleanup, whatever it may be. Each of us, we all have different events occurring in our lives, which has a tendency to form many of our views and habits and words and actions. Some people call it a knee-jerk reaction. Okay, we don't need to have knee-jerk reactions. We need to be focused on godly actions, godly views. Because one of the qualities that Jesus Christ, our elder brother, wants us to experience in our life is a three-letter word, joy. One of the fruits of the Spirit, but we need to have all the fruits of the Spirit in our life. But yet in this present age, much of the joy can be drained away or is being drained away by events that are occurring, and experiences that are occurring all around us in the world we live in. In Psalm 4, verses 6 through 8, here we read something that King David wrote. Psalm 4, verses 6 through 8. There are many who say, "Who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased." Has God put gladness in our heart? Of the experiences that we're having with one another, of getting to know one another better, to serve one another, to continue praying to our God for that area of our life to grow with the joy. Verse 8, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." A lot of people haven't been lying down in peace and sleeping from all the storms, the damage, and destruction. a lot going on and will continue to go on for months, possibly years. But we need to stay focused and centered on what God has called us to do and to live, because our focus as Christians is extremely important. Our goal is to view life as God intended. Again, get out of our way, our own way. See what God intended for us in our life. Because it is possible for us to have greater joy if that's an area of our life that we're lacking, or possibly don't necessarily understand what that word really means from God's viewpoint. But knowing that the kingdom of God is on that horizon gives us, or should give us, even greater happiness and joy, because one day we will experience that event. And again, we are preparing for that event in our life today. Because even with that thought, even our trials can have purpose in getting us ready for all that has been prophesied. Because God's word is true. God cannot lie. In James 1, verses 2 through 4, we read, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now, people that have just gone through the hurricanes, what they have suffered, and they're still going through, they would hear you tell them that, and they would say, "Are you out of your mind? Do you even know what I've gone through?" My answer would be, "No, I don't really understand exactly how you feel and what you've gone through. I can see it with my eyes, but I'm not experiencing what you're experiencing." But from a prayer perspective, from a thought perspective, being directed to them or for them to God, to ask Him to help them, comfort them, help them work through it, all things are possible through God. And as we grow and mature, our outlook should become more like Jesus Christ. We are to be growing in Christ, because we have been invited to view life as He did. We just need to open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds. Let the Holy Spirit work within us to view life. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." A lot of people out there, whether it's Florida, the Carolinas, Georgia, where all these storms impacted, a lot of people are far from full recovery of what they lost during the storms. And hopefully they will learn and retain lessons that these storms brought to them so suddenly. Where can they do better next time? Where can they improve? What should they be looking for? Some of these families lost members. Some of these families lost businesses. There's a lesson to learn from this. Those that lost their lives, we know God's plan of salvation, the second resurrection, where they will be resurrected in the future to learn God's truth. But for those families that don't know that, God's plan and God's truth, they're suffering, they're mourning. And others will hopefully one day hear God's words of truth and come to know a better world is coming when Satan and his demons are put away. Our feast offerings go to serve that purpose of preaching the gospel, preparing a people, and hopefully some of these people will turn looking for truth, looking for God's way, and possibly come across UCG.org. Things to pray about. So we need to continue praying, as was announced earlier in the announcements, for one another. Pray for one another. Lend a helping hand where you can. Stay in touch, close contact with the brethren. Not just the brethren, but God our Father and Jesus Christ. Stay in close contact. Make it a daily choice to notice the difference in your life. God's way. You notice I'm not saying Satan's way, it's God's way. Forget Satan. We know he's there. We know what's coming at the end of this month. I'm not talking about that topic here, but we know what's coming. You know, Satan's starting his celebrations, woohoo, with the world on certain holidays, not holy days, but holidays. Notice the difference. And please stay on the right path that leads to God's kingdom. And let us all that are here today and that are listening on the web, let us all be there when Christ returns. Let us be there as a son or daughter of God, serving, teaching, and helping mankind to grow and learn, for them to learn the true way. Enjoy the rest of the Sabbath. It's good seeing y'all here.